We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray. Now we are standing in His presence on holy ground.
Have you ever heard a story that was so outlandish that you weren't sure if it was true? You may have to say something like, "I'll have to see it to believe it." I played basketball with a young man in college who told me that he had been recruited to play football at several Division I schools and was only playing basketball at my school for 1 year to stay in shape and to get his grades up. I didn't exactly believe him, so I asked for some proof. The next weekend, he went home and brought back some of his tapes, and they confirmed exactly what he said. He was that good. Well, today we look at a couple of men who put their belief in God into action to prove their faith. Please stay with me for a few moments today as we discuss the topic of faith in action.
We are standing in His presence on holy ground.
When we talk about biblical heroes of faith, our minds probably go straight to Hebrews chapter 11. That chapter is often called the faith chapter of the Bible, and it is full of action. Again, we will not be able to read the whole thing, so I encourage you to go and look over it when you have time, but notice some of the action words. Abel offered. Noah built. Abraham went. And the list goes on and on. All of the men and women mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 were commended for their faith. But the proof of their faith was provided by their action. Just like the young man who I mentioned in the introduction, many people will not believe you when you simply tell them you are a Christian. You'll have to show them. And I believe that is what we are reading about in this well-known chapter of God's Word, proof of faith, or faith in action. The author of Hebrews, who most scholars believe to be Paul, ends the chapter by putting these heroes into two different categories. The first group is a list who, quote, conquered kingdoms, quenched the fire of power, and were made strong. The second list are those who, quote, suffered mocking and flogging, were stoned, were sawn in two, and were killed by the sword. I'm sure if asked, we would all want to be in the first group. But notice that no matter what group we're talking about, the common denominator is that they believed the word of God and were willing to risk everything on it. The first group received a great deliverance and a victory on earth. But the second group died with nothing to speak of on earth that validated their faithful obedience. Understand that both groups were faithful, not for earthly gain, but for heavenly gain. So an earthly reward, while possible, was not the end goal. For the rest of our time today, I want to look at a couple of examples of heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 and see if we are willing to put our own faith into action like they did. First, can we, like Abraham, obey even when it's uncomfortable for us? We have spoken of Abraham's faith many times before, and for good reason. Abraham is mentioned twice in these verses, while most of the others only get one mention. And if you assume that Abraham and Sarah are one being married, then we can count a third mention here, because Sarah is also mentioned. In verse 8, Abraham is mentioned when he is called out and he obeyed. He went to a place that he did not really know where he was going, this would be uncomfortable for all of us. He is leaving a place where he has spent his entire life. Even though Abraham would die at the ripe old age of 175 years old, he had spent the first 75 years of his life there. Most of us at that point would have been pretty set in our ways. To further cement Abraham's place in the Heroes of Faith chapter of the Bible, he is mentioned again in verse 17. We're told here, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was offering up his only begotten son. Would we be willing to give up our own children? Think about it in this way. Are we giving our children to God now? I believe that Abraham was able to offer Isaac to God because he had already dedicated Isaac to God. Abraham was determined to raise his son in the same faith that he had for God. And so Isaac was already offered before God, even before God asked him to. I believe too often we offer our children to the world instead of God. We make worldly things more important than godly things and teach our children to do the same. When we harp at them about getting their homework done or studying for a test or applying for college, but never even check to see if they have their Bible lessons done or make sure they're reading their Bibles on a daily basis, what are we telling them is more important? I'm not saying that those other things don't have their place or are not important, but their place is certainly not above the place our Creator should be in. The next person on the list for today is Joseph. Can we have an unwavering hope in the midst of darkness? Joseph is mentioned in verse 22. And at his death, he gave instructions to the children of Israel to take his bones back to the promised land. Remember that Joseph spent the majority of his life in Egypt. He made a life for himself there, but in his dying moments, he spoke of the exodus of Israel and burial instructions for his bones. His home was not in Egypt. His earthly home was always considered to be the promised land, and his eternal home was always in heaven. Think of all the mishaps that Joseph had. If you remember, his story was the inspiration for this series that we have called Lemonade. He took everything that life gave him and made something positive out of it. Are we still trying to do that? Are we taking what life has handed us and trying to do our best to promote God and his son? Finally, let's look quickly at Moses. Like Abraham, Moses is mentioned multiple times in this chapter. He is mentioned in verses 23 through 29. He was commended for giving up earthly wealth and comfort to suffer persecution with God's people. Sometimes I wonder if we could do that. We cling to so many earthly things that we feel have value, but are really useless when it comes to eternity. On the day of judgment, things like political parties, our careers, how much money we have will not carry any weight. However, kindness, mercy, and love will. So until we meet here again, I encourage you to put your faith into action.